This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you laying your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason.
What's that?
It's that ripple effect. That's just that ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back triple.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. Shout out to all the day one supporters. Always going to shout y'all out first because y'all already know what it is. First off,
Wakanda Forever.
Letting y'all know off the rip. That movie, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm not going to say any more. I'm not going to spoil it for those of you who haven't seen it. Now that all the noise have died down a little bit, maybe the theater is a little less crowded, you can find some parking, whatever the case may be, just go see it. For all of you who did not like the first one, you should like this one. All the, you know, critiques and different things that you gave it for whatever reason, you should like this one. If you don't, then it's you. I don't know what else to tell you. They did a phenomenal job. And it was sad also because I did find out that the director had said that he wanted, you know, Chadwick Boseman to read the script before passing, but unfortunately he was too tired to do so. The director didn't really understand what he meant by tired. He just thought it was, oh, he's been doing so much that maybe he was just, you know, didn't have a chance, but he didn't understand that it was the colon cancer that, you know, enabled him to be able to read that script. So that was sad. And I mean, the whole movie, you know, did a phenomenal job just dedicating, you know, Chadwick Boseman, and definitely made sure that his mark was left, you know, his legacy. So they, awesome job. Bring some tissues. It's gonna leave you feeling a little uncomfortable in that theater. I'm just letting you know. I mean, if you're able to hold it together, good for you, you know, but, or maybe not so good for you. Maybe there's some things you got to work out, but, but anyway, if you know, but if you haven't seen it yet, please see it. I'm going to see it again for a second time. It's amazing. Shout outs to everybody who was involved with that project. I just love it when the culture is involved. So it's been great. But yeah, on to sports. You already know what it is. Giants, what's going on, man? We 7-2. You know, we had a little slip up. We had a bye week. We got some energy. And we out here, you know, we beat the Texans, but I know a lot of people want to be like, you know, it's just the Texans. And listen, little insider, in case you didn't know this. So Coach Dable, his daughter's birthday, right? So he promised his daughter a win for her birthday. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. And the team delivered. I'm sure they knew. If they didn't, you know, that's even better. It just goes to show you that they already have that motivation. It told you Saquon Barkley's on another level, planet, you know, universe at this point, just putting in work, getting yards when we need it the most, getting touchdowns, you know, just keeping us in it, you know, and Danny Dimes trying to take care of the ball more. And the culture is just different. Look at the defense. The defense is getting back to Big D, like how, you know, pause, you know, relax. But, you know, I mean, We doing something. Like, I don't know. It's, you know, Odell Beckham Jr.'s 30th birthday was just, what, last week? So I say all that, like, what does that matter, right? Well, it matters because Saquon Barkley was there, you know. Sterling Shepard was there. You know, very good friends of his. Yeah, guys have friends all over the league, not necessarily meaning they're going to team up. But remember, this is where Odell was drafted. You know, this is where he had the catch, you know, it's a lot of things. And I know that they want him to come back, but at the same time, you know, they don't want to push it too much because at the end of the day, this is his life, you know, you have to be happy. And but I mean, to come back 7-2, I mean, you're not coming back to a losing situation. I know the teams that, you know, he's really looking at that people are kind of thinking more so. It's like, yeah, it is the NFC East, but not the Giants. Some people are thinking maybe the Cowboys. And I kind of said to myself after that Cowboys-Packers game, I was thinking to myself, like, yo, I think that this is going to be a test. Like, this is going to be one of these games where, you know, if Green Bay gets their stuff together in this game against a team that's supposed to contend, then Dallas is going to have to rethink some things in terms of their offense, getting more weapons. And that's what so I definitely said to myself, listen, unadulterated, I didn't hear this from nobody. I didn't really get a chance to really, you know, look at other platforms like I usually do. This is just my mindset. And if you know me, you know what's up. I was like, listen, if the Cowboys lose this game, they're probably definitely going to get Odell. I literally said that yesterday, like right after they lost. And shout outs to Aaron Rodgers for that block, giving him that shoulder, that giving him that work. That almost negated, because I'm all about, you know, actions are definitely do speak a lot louder than words, you know. And I mean, you could definitely see some instances where you can probably argue that. But no, but in the greater sense, because Aaron Rodgers was really hard on his receivers, really hard on his offensive line, you know, really hard on these guys, right? Because greatness commands greatness at the end of the day. And Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back MVPs, you know, he'll constantly let you know of his resume and what he brings to the table. And he wants other guys to rise to the occasion. And he let them know, like, he wasn't letting them off the hook. And they got this guy, Watson, man. Man, he's a stud. He's just so fast, and he's made all these like little minor mistakes, maybe looking back at the quarterback and not looking up and actually looking for where the ball is. Because if you're looking at the quarterback, the ball is not where the quarterback is anymore. He threw it. So, you know, so it was kind of, you know, a couple of those miss bombs or whatever that he could have gotten. But he made up for it, man. Like, he just blew past defenders. You know, that kid is fast, man. But I just wanted to say that when Aaron Rodgers made that block for his teammate, that told me everything that I needed to know. That obviously Aaron Rodgers was literally trying to light a fire. To me, that wasn't necessarily inspiring anybody. I had definitely a lot of criticism towards Aaron Rodgers when it came to that, because he seemed more I rather than, you know, we, in a sense. So and I don't really like that, especially it's a team sport. You know, wins, losses, you play together, you know, and especially as the leader, you want to be able to try to inspire these guys. And, well, he lit that fire, you know, under them, and he let them know and didn't let up. Just said, hey, rise to the occasion or we're going to get somebody else who can. Like, that's just, it is what it is. Like, I'm great. I want my record to say that I'm great. You know, like, I'm probably not going to be in the MVP discussion because of you guys. Like, you know, that type of, like, that's just the vibe he gave off. But when he did, I mean, when he threw that right shoulder, you know, to make that block for his teammate, I was like, oh. To me, that almost, like, negated everything that he ever said, because I'm like, he's just not talking about it. He's being about it. He's doing things that's not even his job, right? But whatever it takes to win, he's kind of got that mindset. And when I saw that, I was like, yeah, this is different. When they go into overtime, I'm like, this is different. This is a different team. They definitely had all the, you know, adversity and obstacles against them. By no stretch of the imagination was anybody really expecting anything crazy. But I don't think they were expecting this. I don't think they were expecting the loss to the Jets, the Giants, you know, and all those. But this will be a heck of a, you know, game to turn the season around. And I'm telling you, that block, that was pivotal. I do believe in momentum. That's guys are constantly looking for different ways to motivate. And some guys just have that constant chip on their shoulder, like a Tom Brady ever since the draft, you know, just that constant chip, no matter 7 rings later, you still feel the need to go out there and prove yourself every, you know, Sunday, Monday or Thursday, depending on the week. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers was willing to do that just goes to showed the whole team, look what I'm doing. Like, yeah, I talk about the back-to-back MVPs and, you know, and what I do out there and how I'm always throwing the ball. But, I mean, when that block, dude, like, shout-out to Aaron Rodgers. Shout-out to the Green Bay Packers. They're looking different. No way I'm trying to say that they're going to the Super Bowl. No, not looking to lose any money there. But I'm just saying that this is going to be different. They're definitely going to make things different. You know, the NFC is always weird. You know, usually it's the NFC East that's weird because, you know, you never really know who's coming out until, like, what, week, you know, maybe 14, like 13, depends. Like, I'm like, I'm bugging, but you know what I mean. At the end of the day, Cowboys, they are inconsistent. You're always sure what you're going to get for them on the defensive end, right? I mean, last night you probably would say different, but for the most part, you know, when you got Lawrence out there, Parsons out there, I mean, these guys are beasts, like beasts, Diggs. But the offense can use some help. CeeDee Lamb's doing his thing. He's doing his thing too. But if you guys had Odell, and by no stretch of the imagination do I want y'all to get Odell for many different reasons, because then I'm going to have to get Odell Beckham Jr.'s jersey. And, you know, obviously I'm a Giants fan, and that's going to, you know, leave me up to getting called all types of frauds, to put it mildly. And I don't care. I don't care. It's my guy. But I'm just saying, I'm just looking at it from a Cowboys stand. I mean, and you guys were all over the media, you know, I mean, from Jerry Jones, right, to Zeke, everybody was talking about this guy. You know, you guys want Odell, and, you know, I'm sure Micah Parsons as well was talking about OBJ. So we'll have to see what happens, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to be all that popular, but looking at that, just because I think that the Cowboys are going to go hard for Odell in terms of, you know, giving him what he wants and making him feel comfortable, not asking him to do too much, because he is coming off that, you know, ACL. You do want to treat that, you know. So when you think about him coming back, December, you know, it's probably a good time. You know, I wouldn't rush it any earlier than that. But anyway, the Niners, like, oh, man. Watching the 49ers play, you know, against the Chargers. Oh, man, I mean, yesterday was just fun, because yesterday, at the end of the day, there was a lot of things that were just going on in all these different games. And if you don't have Red Zone or anything, it's a lot to keep up with, even if you do have it. But the 49ers, like, they're just solid. And the fact that they have Christian McCaffrey, I mean, that was icing on the cake. And why I brought that up, you know, transitioning from the Cowboys to Odell situation, is because what if Odell went there? Like, now, Kyle Shanahan, you know, the offensive coordinator, that would give him so much to do. Like, I feel like his playbook would be open, wide open, you know, on things that they can do to mix it up. And there's so much that they would have to, you know what I mean, so much that they can do. They wouldn't necessarily have to rely solely on Odell, obviously. So they wouldn't have to put so much pressure on him. The run game is good. You already know what they're getting from Bosa and that defense. I'm like, and as long as Jimmy chills, I mean, don't let me forget about Debo, please. Like, Debo's on another level. We already know what he offers. You know, I know Stephen A is always saying about Aaron Rodgers being that bad man, but I don't know. When I think about, like, a bad man to me, like that bad dude, that's Debo, man, because he can do it all. Like, he's so versatile, you know what I mean? Like, you're talking about running. He can be running back. He can be a wide out, you know, tight end. Like, what you need him to do, Debo's going to do it for you, especially in those crunch times, especially in those times where you need yards, right? And getting that defense tired, you know, just great. So that would be another good fit for him too. Another good fit, obviously, would be Kansas City. I don't know why people are not really talking about Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. I think they get too caught up with the Josh Allen's and everything that's going on, especially with Lamar Jackson, because he's out there having fun and playing for his contract, obviously. But it's like Patrick Mahomes is just, it's like when he's just doing Patrick Mahomes things, as long as they're still winning, nobody talks about them. It's like everybody's just quiet. You know, they're just like, Oh, that's just Patrick Mahomes, you know. That's just, imagine if Odell went there, right? Again, an offense that's already solid. You have Andy Reid. You already have a decent run game. At the end of the day, you're not asking him to do too much. But he just adds another element, another option where it, because the whole point is you want to keep that defense guessing. You want to put them in a position where they're like, we got to play these guys. And then they just added Odell. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you want to leave them frustrated. You want to leave them having to study film. You want to leave them having to, you know, have sleepless nights. You know what I mean? So you can get that little edge. You know, that's what it's all about, especially in sports. You're always looking to gain that little edge. And sometimes it is just that little, you know what I mean, that inch. And a lot of people, they don't see that. But I'm like, how many times have you watched, you know, teams on like a 3rd-and-1, right? Or even a 4th-and-1, either they can't get it. I'm like, yo, you know, or you're talking about like 4th-and-inches, you know, and they just can't get it and they get that stop. That's what I'm talking about. Like that little edge, like, I mean, it's like that 1 yard, that's the difference. And it's just, it's amazing. I mean, that's like the best part of sports because it really is that close, or just the NFL in general, because games can literally be decided by, you know, a yard or less. And it's just that crazy. But enough of that. I know even the Packers, you know, and this will be a great, great reason, right, for Odell to come in to the Packers to see if he can, I would say, help turn it around, because you can kind of see like the Green Bay's trying to come around, you know, because obviously offensively they're going to need it, but they're going to be asking too much of Odell. I don't know, because of that kid Watson. I don't know. As long as he keeps sticking to the fundamentals, because he's still learning, he's still growing, Watson's going to be something. Watch out for him. But I'm not going to keep talking about Odell. I'm gonna talk about what you guys really want to talk about. All these Viking fans out here. I met a lot of y'all actually at the Commanders game last week. So I'm gonna give a shout out to y'all, man. The Vikings, y'all doing y'all thing, honestly. Cause I mean, one of my main things was like, listen, the Vikings were so happy after beating the Commanders, like so happy, like, you know, just going nuts, you know, and on the plane, you saw Kirk Cousins, you know, with the shirt off, with all the chains, going crazy. And I'm like, bruh, like, if it really took all of that for you guys to beat the Commanders, what do you guys plan on doing? I'm like, because the Commanders are not really trying to go to the Super Bowl. Like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, every NFL team has it in their mindset that they're trying to win every game and get to the Super Bowl. But I'm talking about, realistically speaking, they're not built to go to the Super Bowl just yet. Hopefully, after they sell the team and they got some different things going on, build a different type of culture, then we can talk about that. But the Vikings are looking to get over that hump, because they've been, you know, Kirk Cousins, average quarterback, you know, have all those different things thrown at him. And, you know, Justin Jefferson has taken his game to a whole nother level. To me, he's definitely the top wide receiver in the game. Put some respect on his name. You know, LSU is up for sure. They're doing their thing, man. I can't say enough. Because the way that they were able to come out, you know, and, I mean, win after win. And it just made me change my mindset about them. Because, like I said, I'm like, yo, if you beat a team that's not even trying to do nothing, like, stop celebrating like you just won the Super Bowl, right? Like, that's, you're going to have a hard time against the teams that really matter. And the fact that they were able, you know, to win, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, I have it all wrong here. Like, I'm thinking about this all wrong. It's not even about that. It's about the fact that they find a way to win. No matter what, they're not throwing away games. They're not going to beat themselves up. Like, you know what I mean? They'll make some mistakes, but more importantly, they'll make adjustments. And that is everything. When you are able to make those adjustments, and I was thinking to myself, like, that game has so many different layers to it, because at the end of the day, I'm sitting there thinking, like, are they really going to be able to beat the Bills? And there was so much controversy over whether the Bills should even play Josh Allen. And honestly, I was thinking to myself, I don't even see how you can play Josh Allen right now, because there's a whole lot of going back and forth about his LUL, if I'm saying it correctly, his elbow, right? A ligament in his elbow. About how bad it is and whether he's able to play, and how the coach was just saying, you know, a couple of days ago that he's day-to-day. We're not sure. He's not practicing. Okay, he's going to practice a little bit, you know, but he's not going to be doing too much. You know, we're not really going to ask him to do anything crazy. And a lot of people were saying, well, you probably should just rest him, because, of course, that Tommy John surgery came up. And if you know anything about that surgery, you know, just think of it as this. If you have the surgery, it takes you a year just to recover from it and to rehab. And then it takes you a whole nother year to get back to where you were. So that's like 2 years shot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and obviously the whole franchise is depending on Josh Allen. Josh Allen is that entire offense. Everything that he's asked to do, that's all Josh Allen. Like, that's just it. Like, and that's, and when you're asking a guy to do that much, right, you would think, especially since you have those lofty goals, you do have the talent, you do have the defense, right, you have everything you need, you know, to be a contender, to, you know, to make that Super Bowl push, you know, that's your thing. You wanted, you know, you Kansas City stopped you. You're not going to let that happen this time. You know, overtime rules are different now. So, you know, you got everything you want. The stars are aligned. And now it's just you have to stay healthy. That's really the whole thing. Because at the end of the day, if you're not healthy, what does it matter? None of this stuff matters. But anyway, Josh Allen played, as you know. He played. And now we're sitting up here saying, okay, he played. And they still lost. They still lost. You know, and I'm not sitting here trying to act like it ain't any given Sunday and it happens. But I am trying to say, you may have forced the issue of him playing Josh Allen for what? It ended up in a loss. I can appreciate that 2020 is, you know, it's definitely, I get it. Hindsight is always 2020. I do get it. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't think I would have put him in. I think I would have let him rest, you know, see what this team can really do without Josh Allen, you know, make everybody else step up. You know, that's just what the league is about. Everybody's got to step up and do what they got to do. You know, but that's just more credit to the Vikings, right? And I know Josh Allen was upset, you know, because I'm sure a big part of that was how he was feeling, because that's a lot of things that people don't know about injuries and players and athletes. But I'm going to give you a little insight. Like, yes, they do rely on the doctor's expertise and MRIs and x-rays and all these fancy, you know, equipment and terms and different things of that nature. But I'm here to tell you, a lot of times, it really depends on the player, though. You know, because sometimes things are missed. Sometimes things are so small they can't be seen. Sometimes on the screen, it's like everything, you know, it's enough to make the play, to say, listen, you're good on my end. How do you feel? Because a lot of it is, how do you feel? And if you're competitive as a Josh Allen and you have a lot to prove and you're trying to make this your MVP season, you're trying to make this your Super Bowl championship season, there's a lot riding on this. And you know, is any quarterback, like, experience is your best teacher. And obviously the more you're out there, the more comfortable you are, the more in rhythm you are, that matters too. Like, that's everything. And to try to keep him out, like, he's not going to do it willingly. So if you're giving him an out, right, you know, if you're giving him the option of, hey, everything doesn't look too bad as we thought it might, you know, so it's really up to you and how you feel and the coaching staff and everything else, and we're going to put all that together. If you're giving him that option, then like most quarterbacks or like most players, they're going to play, you know, and that just made me think, like, wow, like, man, they played okay. You know, was it worth it? Like, I would definitely ask them, like, what was it worth it? I mean, I guess you have to say yeah, right? Because you did it. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, shout out to the Vikings, man. Like, you guys are getting it done flat out. You guys are not making any excuses. You guys are, you know, dancing, showing off, happy, and rightfully so, man. What are you guys, like 8-1 right now? So, you know, keep doing your thing. I would say, you know, don't get too ahead of yourselves. But I think we really have to start looking at them. You know, they beat Buffalo. Like, a lot of the, everybody kept saying they're not really beating anybody real. Like, okay, they just beat Buffalo, though. Yeah, Josh Allen was injured. Stop it. They beat Buffalo, though. They 8-1. Sometimes you just got to take the L. Just give them the respect, you know what I mean? And just keep it pushing. And just say, okay, you still got to keep showing us, though. Because at the end of the day, you know, we'll see. We will see. Because a lot of teams are starting to turn it around. Because we can't sit here and act like some of these guys aren't vets. We can't sit here and act like these guys aren't, you know what I mean? Like, they're not new to this. And when I say that, I mean like guys like Tom Brady. Everybody was ready to just throw him away, right? Just like, all right, this season's done for whatever reason. Okay, well, I know he just won in Munich, Germany, right? But that was like, I mean, you got to feel for these guys, right? Like, that's, what, a 6-hour difference? You got to think about the travel, the, you know, routine. Remember, guys are very athletes, very routine, you know, for the most part. Especially when you're talking about the greats. And I know some will argue, but yeah, Tom has kind of been a little out of routine. But you know what? He had some time. He needed to adjust. He picked the best time to adjust, which was in the beginning of the season, because then you still have the end to make up for it, right? And that's just another thing that's going to tell you, like, Tom is not going away, right? Aaron Rodgers just told you, hey, I'm not going away so easily, right? Because the reality is they don't know how many more years they have left they're going to be doing this. So they're really going to want to lay it all on the line, which kind of makes sense why Aaron Rodgers took it upon himself to block, right? So all these things need to be taken into account, you know, but so I'm happy about that, because it just means that the NFL season is going to be even more exciting and even more unpredictable, like the last season, you know, but better. Because last season it was pretty predictable until the playoffs. The playoffs was just like, whoa. But it's going to be interesting, those wild card games, and to see who gets in, who gets out, who has the bye week, who has home court advantage, because that's going to matter. I'm telling y'all. But looking at the Dolphins, whew, oof, y'all put a beating on them Browns, man. Y'all put a beating on them. Whew, take it easy. Tua's letting y'all know, like, listen, I know y'all were concerned about me, or y'all just, you know, needed something to talk about that week. But shout outs to Tua Tagovailoa, letting y'all know, like, listen, there were some questions about me at the quarterback position, but this is what I'm able to do when you guys put me in a culture where there's not so much either controversy going on, or, you know, the owner can kind of stay out of it, and you give him weapons like Tyreek Hill, Waddle. Like, these guys are, that defense is stepping up. They have themselves a squad. I'm not going to go too crazy yet, just yet. I want to see a little bit more, because as you know, the Browns still don't have their starting quarterback yet, but even when they get Deshaun Watson back in week 13, we still don't know exactly what he's going to be, because at the end of the day, he hasn't played in like 2 years. We saw what he looked like in the preseason. It wasn't exactly encouraging. So at the end of the day, we're going to see. Like, everything is still kind of up in the air. We don't know. But I just got to give props where props is due. And so far, you just have to make that you know, just to kind of sit there and say, like, okay, the Dolphins, they had a lot going on, but you can't just look at what they had going on and not be able to appreciate what they did afterwards, like the bounce back. like, that's just the best part about adversity, right? Because it's not okay, everybody was talking about you when you were down. It was what you did after that, right? Because that's what you can control. He couldn't control getting concussed. He couldn't control, you know, all the media and all the circus around that and how things are changing now. And you saw how things changed because last night we can make that reference to Herbert. Sorry, I couldn't. You know, when you're sitting there thinking to yourself, like, wow, like when he took that hit, and that was a bad hit. They definitely should have took him out of the game. Whoever was talking about, oh, they should have never made that call of unnecessary roughness, when that was unnecessary. Like, that shouldn't have been done. They made the right call, taking him out of the game, you know. And all due respect to Tony Dungy, because he was actually one of the, you know, guys that said that was a ridiculous call. And I think that's part of the problem with the NFL today, because the NFL is kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because at the end of the day, you want us to try to make this game safer. You don't want to see guys get paralyzed or worse, you know, on the field. But yet you got people saying that you don't want them, you know, being penalized, you know, for a bad hit or a potentially, you know, serious hit, because Justin Herbert was definitely on a knee, you know, for like, what, I think they said about a 7 count, you know, in order to gather himself to get up. You know, you're talking about like a, what, 24-year-old kid, 25-year-old kid, you know, taking some time to get up. You know, you're thinking to yourself like, yo, like, that stuff matters. Like, I mean, just think about it. Like, you know, Tony Dungy, when, you know, he used to play and coach, and I'm like, listen, you got to have some type of consideration to the guys that, you know, that did play when you played and didn't have the luxury that you have to still have your memory, right? And still be able to walk around on your own and eat and do all these different things that people are really uncomfortable and making it awkward. And they really don't want to talk about that. They don't really want to talk about the downsides of it. But I'm like, but this is exactly the thing that they're like trying to prevent. And that's why they made Justin Herbert get out of the game and kind of just had him looked at real quick, because these things matter. And that all came out of the Tua Tagovailoa incident, because it was, everybody was, you know, doctors got fired. Like, it was, you know, it's a big thing now, because you got to think about the potential, you know, long term. You can't even just think about the short term anymore, because at the end of the day, it's their livelihood that's here at stake here. So, but no, shout outs to the NFL, right call, right thing. You know, you definitely could have saved not only that young man some grief, his family, you know, because like I said, you don't understand long-term effects. We don't understand, you know, CTE yet. That's when it really matters. Tua Tagovailoa, he's the real deal, guys. You guys, it's time to say it. Yes, he has weapons around him, but he's utilizing those weapons. He's not only utilizing those weapons, he's making smart decisions. He's making the right decisions for his football team. That's all I'm going to say about them. Like, they're just looking dangerous, guys. But we're going to switch it up a little bit and talk about some NBA action real quick. It's a lot going on. The Nets, it's no surprise they started playing defense. It's no surprise that the team is responding to Jacques Vaughn more so than Steve Nash. I think we kind of knew, you know, a change in culture, a change in regime was definitely going to be one of the catalysts to get them to being successful again. They beat the Lakers, you know. They're just playing really, really well in terms of what they've been doing lately. A lot of people are worried. I pause for you because a lot of people are worried. Like, what's going to happen when Kyrie gets back? Like, that's been a whole thing, a whole topic. What's going to happen? A lot of people were expecting him back yesterday, you know. So it's like a lot of controversy deciding around that. And at the end of the day, the reality is we don't know. Some people can speculate and say, well, it's going to go back to how it was. Or some people would say they're better off without him. The reality is we don't know. We really don't know. Because if we're being honest, we don't know, because we don't know what Kyrie's going to do. It really depends on what he's going to do. Is he going to buy in? Is he going to understand where Jacques Vaughn is coming from, you know, and respect his plays and respect what, you know, what he's trying to do with this team, like trying to lead this team in his, you know, through his eyes and his direction? You know, it just depends on how much he buys in, honestly. Because if we're just talking about strictly basketball and we're just trying to say, is Kyrie going to be able to be acclimated to the way the Nets style of basketball right now, with, you know, with playing defense and playing within a system? Kyrie Irving as a basketball player can fit into any system. You know, Claxton even said this, you know, the other day. He can fit into any system. That's not the argument. Like, you're either don't know basketball, or you're just such a Kyrie hater that you can't even see past, you know what I mean, like, whatever's going on off the court. He can fit into any system. That's not the real question. The real question is, will he buy into it? Is this something that is he going to want to do that? Because if he wants to do it, then we're definitely looking at this Brooklyn Nets team very differently, in terms of, okay, are we just going to just do what we have to do, you know, change the culture around, start winning some games, start playing the right way, you know, things of that nature. It really just depends, because you're already seeing what KD did. KD is not playing. KD did not sit there and say to himself, like, okay, so all this off-the-court stuff, I'm going to let it get in my head. No. KD is a real hooper, a true hooper at heart. I've said this in my last pod, in terms of, playing basketball is his sanctuary. And it's like that for a lot of guys or a lot of girls. It just depends, like, you know what I mean, on the player or your why of why you're playing. It's really a place where you can kind of just go in and not think about the outside world. And KD embodies that, like the way he's been playing, the way he's bought in. I know there's trade rumors. There's always going to be things circulating, especially when it comes time to, you know, making teams better. It just makes sense. Like, that's what you always want to do. You always want to look for ways to make your team better. I know that's hard to believe that you think of removing Kevin Durant would do so, but that all depends on Kevin Durant too, because maybe he wants to. I don't think that's something that the Nets want to do. But if KD doesn't want to play there, what are they going to do? But right now, I think they're starting to build that same culture that they had prior to Kyrie Irving and KD arriving. You know, when they had, you know, Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, you know, Dinwiddie. I mean, I just thought that squad. I mean, who doesn't love the allure of superstars, right? But sometimes you got to sit there and think about at what cost. And it's like I've been saying too, I also love the direction the NBA is going, because I think we're kind of getting out of that superstar, you know, super team type of mentality. Like, we're looking into building a real team of culture, of substance, you know, something that's sustainable, not, you know, to win a ring and then, you know, be terrible for like the next couple, you know, years or even decade, you know, and a lot of those teams, you can tell, like, they're starting to really break out of that and starting to just say to themselves, let's just build. Like, look what the Celtics are doing. You know, look what Memphis is doing. Look what the Jazz are doing. You know, look what Cleveland is doing. You know, I mean, Garland, what did he put up, like 51 or something? This dude Garland is a problem. And he only played, like, what, three games so far? This dude's going to be a problem this year. Staying healthy, this dude's going to be a problem. You already see what Donovan Mitchell's been doing. That's why I wanted him. But, you know, the Knicks, I hear trade rumors with Randall. That's all I'm going to say about that. Knicks, definitely very difficult to watch. You know, they did win the other day, but, you know, it's just mainly the inconsistency. When you sit there and watch them, you know, what was it, a couple days ago, and the game was just, it was just not watchable. Like, it just, if you're a Knicks fan, like, it hurts. Like, it physically hurts to watch them play sometimes. Like, you just, I can't do it. No, like, I can't do it. But, yeah, so when I think about teams like Philly, you see what Embiid is doing. There are some talks about KD going to Philly. That would be interesting. Also would be dangerous, too, in terms of the league. But then it gets kind of back into that super team type of, you know, that I don't really care for. But it's still early in the NBA. I'm sure there's going to be moves. There's still going to be a lot of things going on. I forget. They also talk about, look at the Bulls, right? They've talked about possible landing spots for KD with the Bulls. You know, it's a lot of different trade scenarios. And the reality is whoever has the assets, the money, the picks, that's really how that's going to be, you know, factored in alongside whether KD wants to go there, obviously. But also other players that may be on the move, look out for Draymond Green, right? That might be an end of an era, so to speak, when you think about, you know, Iggy, Draymond, Clay, and Steph, because those four, you know, those were kind of like the core, you know, to winning all those four championships. But Iggy already made himself clear that this is going to be his last year, right? So he's already left, right? Not yet, but I'm saying already in his mind, like, that's it. After this season, whatever you guys do, whatever we do, but I'm not going to be here. I can see him maybe being in the front office, maybe being a player coach, different things of that nature. I can see that. You know, like a UD type of, you know, role for this season. That's what it kind of feels like. But a lot of people were saying, are they going to pay Draymond? You know, he was a big part of the reason why they have those four rings. And yeah, while that is true, but Golden State has always been about the future, you know, right? They've always been about, yes, paying guys that deserve to get paid. But at the same time, you know, right now that they understand that there is a switch between the old and new. And you have to, and as an organization, you have to, like, that's like, I would say the tough part about the job, because you do want to give respect and dedication to the guys who did put in all that work, who did get you those championships, you know, never left, you know, no stone unturned, right? They gave their heart and soul to this play. So you definitely want to give them their gratitude, you know, and their respect. But at the same time, you don't want to miss a window, because if you miss that window, that could cost you 5 years, 10 years, you know, depending. And if you don't believe me, just look around some of these, you know, around the league, some of these organizations that still to this day still can't get it together. And my Knicks are included in that conversation. And it's because you don't understand how making, you know, that wrong decision that 1 year just becomes like a trickle-down effect, you know, for years to come, or a ripple effect. But looking at Golden State, they're making the right decision. You know, you had, because Moody, young, right? Wiseman, young, still learning, still working, trying to figure out what he's going to be, what kind of player he's going to be. You also have Wiseman, you know, Kuminga. You know, you're trying to figure out where these guys are going to fit in and what they're going to do and how you're going to keep them being successful. Like, what do you don't have, you know, Gary Payton II anymore. So you're going to have to start filling these voids. You're going to have to start seeing, you know, who are we prioritizing? And I think the league is, the Golden State Warriors always made it pretty clear that Draymond wasn't going to be their primary, like, you know, priority. You know, it wasn't going to be like, okay, we have a lot of priorities, but I didn't see Draymond being in, like, the top five. You know, they still got to pay Clay. You have to think about that, too. You know, a lot of people saying, like, oh, Clay's a max player, you know, this and that. And I get where they're coming from, because when you look at some other players in the league and how they have max deals, and you're like, Clay's better than them. But you have to think about the circumstances of the team and not necessarily around the league, because every team has their own individual cap, right? And you have to think about who you've already paid versus who you're going to pay. You know, you already paid Wiggins, obviously Steph's already on the books, you know, and you paid Jordan Poole. You have to think, like, they did make it clear that they were planning on, you know, going above the luxury tax, and that's just something that they just got to deal with. But listen to me. It's not going to be easy. you know, to figure out how Draymond is going to get paid, what he wants to get paid. Because it's not like the Golden State Warriors are trying to be disrespectful, right? Not at all. Like, Joe Lacob and them, like, they're, you know, respectful. They're businessmen. They're going to negotiate. They're going to figure it out, right? But at the same time, I personally think, and I even said it a couple episodes ago, Draymond Green has other plans. I think he's going to be going to L.A. That's just me personally. I think about relationships because relationships do matter. I know sometimes we get caught up in the game. We kind of get caught up in more so, you know, winning, and we get caught up with the chemistry and this and that. But a lot of time, these guys, like, they have other things going on. They have other business, you know, things outside of basketball going on, and that's definitely their priority. You know, Draymond and LeBron are in business together. I need you guys to keep that in mind. And I know some people don't think that that stuff matters. And I'm telling you, it does. It does matter. And that doesn't mean I can't be wrong, but it also means that I could be right. So just keep it in mind. Just keep it an open mind. That's all I'm trying to say. And another thing I want to say before I cap this off, man, shout out to the Blazers. The Blazers are a team that, They're coming. Like, it's like you don't even want to call them a sleeper team because that's kind of disrespectful in a way, because it's like you already know what Dame is going to do. You know, Simons is already showing you, like, I mean, you have multiple guys. I mean, Hart, solid, you know, role player guy. Yeah, it's, you have Grant. Look, listen, they have a team. Like, a team like that, I would love to see them in Memphis go at it. And that's no disrespect to Memphis, because I know Memphis has already got their eyes on Golden State and bigger, you know, bigger things. You know, but I'm telling you, the Blazers, a lot of people didn't see them coming. They're here. Watch out. Shout out to all the Blazers fans. I love shouting out all the fans that, you know, have had it rough. Like, that pretty much weren't really in the mix for a couple of years. So if you have a chance to be in the mix, man, like, I'm going to let y'all know, like, that's what's up. So, but guys, I'm about to get out of here. But before I do, I'm going to let you guys know something. Like I said, we're getting into the holiday season. So, you know, I wanted to let you guys know that I'm going to be giving these babies away. Yeah, it's a 16-month calendar. It is Michael Jordan. You can say he's the GOAT. You can say he's second. I don't know where he rates on your personal, you know, I can only speak for my era, right? And I'm sure other people will speak up for theirs. But so it's 2023. So I think that's kind of cool how they're honoring, you know, emphasis on 23 with the 16-month calendar. It's got, you know, him. And back when he was in the All-Star, back when he was in the Olympics, USA, it's cool. It's got his best highlights, best moves. It even has, like, different moves where you see him where to start and you see him finishing. It's great. But anyway, I'm giving those out. All I'm going to ask you guys to do, if you can tell me, wait for it. If you can tell me, who's my favorite basketball player of all time? And I mean of all time. If you can tell me that, then I know a lot of people can be like, well, that's not fair. And this, and if you've been listening, then you know. But if you haven't been listening, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. Then this ain't for you, right? And I have two here. So first two, y'all let me know. I'm going to get the info, and I'm going to make sure you enjoy that calendar, and you let me know how it is. And, hey, it's going to keep your life organized regardless, right? So even if you're not a, you know, Michael Jordan fan, I don't know how you can't be, but, you know, you still can enjoy it. But you already know what it is, guys. I only ask you guys to do one thing, right? Just remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you laying your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason.
What's that?
It's that ripple effect. That's just that ripple, ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come triple. Back, triple.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl KDOT, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.